Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Yeah, well, welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Tuesday, the 30th of March, 2021. I am Leon C. Essex, and on today's My Spurs Journey, we have got Abby Summers. How are you doing, Abby?
I'm good. Thank you so much for asking me to come on.
No problem. Well, what I do in this lockdown period, I've got all the Twitterati and podcasters and Spurs people of fame and fortune. And of course, your name is just springing up everywhere at the moment on all these different podcasts. And I thought I've got to get her on because your knowledge of Spurs, I mean, mine's pretty good, but yours is absolutely amazing. So this is the podcast for you. So tell us, I mean, you go to the grounds as well, just in a nutshell. Can you let us know, how on earth do you get to go to the games?
I've been lucky enough this season to be doing some work with Sony Sports India, which is kind of like the equivalent of like a Sky or a BT in India. Obviously, there's a huge market over there with sport, Premier League, worldwide, of course. So I've been lucky enough, yeah, that I've got to cover a few games. Unfortunately, I think I'm actually done now until next season, because they don't cover Premier League, they don't have the rights to it, and they don't have the rights to the Carabao Cup. So Spurs did me very dirty on this, because I was doing the FA Cup. Obviously, I was in Everton, and we went out, and then I was doing the Europa League, and I think we all expected to get a lot further in Europa League. And then, of course, we went out to Zagreb. So unfortunately, I think I'm done now for the rest of the season with them. But hopefully, look, we'll see what comes up later in the season if they manage to get rights for certain things. And, you know, if not, hopefully I'll start again next season. And hopefully everyone is back in the ground at that point.
Yeah, well, let's fingers crossed on that one. I booked my summer holidays last week, and the day that we come back is the 14th of August. Oh. So I'm praying that not only are we back in the stadium, but also we get shifted to the Sunday straight away.
Yes.
For our first game, because obviously I'd love to go to that first game. Listen, we do My Spurs Journey. We go through the crazy questions. Just before we came on air and we were chatting about everything today, there's some sad news about Claude from AFTV. I don't know if you saw that.
Yes.
And we were talking about just general things. And I said, I've got a little story which I'll say to you. About a week or so ago, Kelly Cates, who's I've known for years and years, grew up with her. And she made a comment about Vinicius's celebration or whatever. I didn't actually see the clip, but all I saw on Twitter was someone just say, Kelly da 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 da, and I was like, hey, she's a mate of mine, you know, go easy. Now what followed was about 10 messages of people, guys, blokes, all different ages, talking about this friend of mine who I know so I don't know so well. I spend the summer, I've spent dinners with her, I've spent long evenings of drinking and having a right laugh. She's the most down-to-earth person you could ever wish to imagine. Doesn't even acknowledge that her dad's Kenny, one of the greatest footballers of all time. Won't discuss it, but not in a nasty way. She won't say like, oh, don't talk about that. She'll just want to talk, you know, random stuff, politics, things that are going on in the day, everything. And she's just so down-to-earth, so lovely, chats to everybody, right laugh. I mean, proper guests on the booze and have a laugh and just chat and just absolutely lovely. And then you've got these comments, girls stuck up her own backside, da da da. I mean, I've never even seen that come across on telly. So what we were talking about was this whole people saying things about you. Abby, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
It honestly is. You know, just before we get into that, obviously, you know, really, really sad to hear about Claude. I've met him before. I actually did an interview with him, Mickey, Graham Roberts, and I was with Ben Richmond as well about a year and a half ago. So he was absolutely lovely. You know, it was very nice to meet him. I just very sad for everyone that's involved, like that's involved with, you know, him and his family. But it just shows you, you know, that is, I believe he obviously had problems, you know, aside and away from social media, but I just think that social media and, you know, Twitter, Instagram, they play such a big role in people's mental health. Like you just said with Kelly, you know, she's a woman. We see it lots of times. Women have a much harder time, you know, trying to be within this industry and doing stuff in football, because people seem to think women have less knowledge. They can only have jobs if they're, you know, sleeping with someone, and, you know, they get looked at completely different in terms of men. And a lot of the time, women actually know far more. I see plenty of people, men in particular, who haven't got a clue about football, tweeting their, you know, spouting their ideas out, and I think what a load of rubbish that is. But because you're a woman, it's 10 times harder. And I see things about me a lot of the time, you know, sexually related things towards me, and, you know, people saying this and that about me. How is she in the stadium? It must be because, you know, she's sleeping with that one and whatever. And it can never be off of my own credibility. It can never be off of the fact that I've built my own reputation, you know, within the industry and made my connections from when I was 17 years old. I'm 27 now. It's been 10 years that I've done my freelance work alongside a full-time job since that age, and I've built that on my own. So when I see people saying things about that, you know, to me, it's disrespectful. But does it hurt me? No, because, you know, why would I care about some little troll at the back end of their screen that's clearly just jealous? So for me, things like that is water off the duck's back. And I would only really be offended if it came from someone I'd respected in the first place.
That's a great way to look at it. And unfortunately, you know, even though I will read a tweet from someone I've never even heard of who might say something, and I'll just think, you don't know me. I mean, even to someone might interject on a conversation and say, hey, stop having a go at him, he's got mental health issues. And I'm going, well, you don't know if I haven't got mental health issues. And quite frankly, I'm not going to go into it with you because I don't know you.
I think everyone has mental health issues, to be honest with you. You know, it doesn't matter if someone's very open about it and they've got, you know, maybe deeper mental health issues or things like that. I think, you know, words hurt, words can hurt. Not everybody is made of steel. And, you know, I know that being on a public platform, whoever you are, it's, I guess, it opens yourself up to debate and opinion and conversation. And I guess that when you put a tweet out, I guess you are looking for engagement to some degree. But I think when people reply, just, you know, that's a person, you know, and what good do you get from trolling someone or being rude about someone, you know, what they say, their appearance, that's their opinion. If you don't agree, just move on, like just scroll past it. You don't have to engage because you disagree. You know, the world's not going to stop if you just ignore it. And I just think more people need to do that. Keep their mouths shut. I think if we've got nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. And that's something I live by.
Well, that's it. And also, if you do have something to say, you know, I always try and put a little the sarcasm emoji, which is the tongue hanging out, just to sort of go, oh, that's a load of rubbish, or just to sort of say, you know, but let's carry on the conversation. I'm not saying you anyway. We could go on about that forever, and you know, we've all got to, you know, not to make light of it, but one of the mental health issues we've got is supporting this team that we adore and obsess over. So, what was the first match you ever remember seeing?
Do you know what? I get asked this a lot, and I've got such a bad memory. I really do. And I can never, I remember it being around Christmas time, and I can never remember if it's Nottingham Forest or Blackburn or someone like that. I remember that as my first game. But I cannot remember it because I was so young.
Do you reckon you went, or was it on telly?
No, I'm sure I was there because it was one of, I just have an awful memory and thinking about it. I know everyone says, you must remember your first game, and I'm like, I actually really don't because I think I was that young. But, you know, I remember, I'd say as I've got older, I probably remember things that from when I was maybe like 12 or 13, it's probably like my better memories of stuff. You know, when I was going, when I was younger, I didn't always go every week until I was about 8 or 9. So things up until that point, I don't always recall.
And what was that? What happened there? What were you doing when you were 8 or 9? Who took you, and who were the players?
So my dad grew up in Edmonton, so he he's always, you know, Spurs in, I guess, Spurs in the blood when you're from that area. And he was always a massive Spurs fan, and then I just kind of got into it from that point. But growing up, I was always, I mean, you know, the love of my life was Jermaine Defoe. When I think back of my childhood, my younger years, I always just was obsessed with him. Yeah, I remember when he went to Portsmouth, I was absolutely heartbroken.
What are we doing? Right, okay, so dad takes you. So you're at home. Dad, mum and dad there? I'm just trying to set the scene.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
And then dad's like, right, Abby, fancy coming to Spurs on Saturday? And your mum's like, you're not taking my Abby up there.
I'm an only child, so I don't know, I guess I'm the best of both, because I'm, you know, I'm very much a tomboy in that sense. Like, you know, football's always been my life, but I can equally do the other stuff. But it was funny, when I was growing up, obviously all my friends would on a Saturday be going out shopping, they'd be going to Brent Cross or someone like that, and I would obviously be going to football. So that was where the real divide happened as I became a teenager. But you know, my mum doesn't really follow football. Like, she'll sit and she'll watch it and she'll pretend and make I don't know, lots of people probably find this. If you're watching with your mum, mm-hmm. and like, she feels like she knows what's going on, and she'll be like, oh, why are they doing that? And she's just talking rubbish. Like, and me and my dad sometimes just look at her and go, please shut up. And obviously, you know, during lockdown, we've had so many games that she's obviously sat in on, whereas me and my dad would usually be at those games. So I really noticed it more
There's a little something in you that you said there, and I think it might break my heart one day, because I take my boy, and I've taken him since he was 5, and he's now 11. But you said that you went with your dad, and then you started going shopping. And was it like, because my boy, I know that he's going to get to about 15 or 16 or maybe even younger, and I'm going to go, oh, come on then, off to Spurs. And he'll go, actually, Dad, I'd rather like hang out with mates.
I never had that. I never was going shopping. To this day, my weekends are still always taken up by Spurs, whether at home or away. So what I meant was, when my friends were all doing that on the weekend, I was never with them. They were always doing what they wanted to do. I don't know, but like I said, I'm an only child, so my dad's never experienced me turning around and saying, I don't want to go anymore. Hard to ever believe that would happen, and I'd be devastated. I'd be devastated if one day I had kids and, you know, they said that to me. I'd feel heartbroken. I couldn't even imagine, you know. I actually did cut back on going to away days, because, you know, every single weekend taken up when you're working all week, it's a lot. Yeah. So in the last, you know, just the year before, obviously, lockdown happened, I was cutting back on how many I was doing, because there was a time where it would be every weekend. But that's probably the only compromise I've made thus far.
We might get into your away days in a minute, because there is a question coming up. But is there a football match that has made you cry?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, Ajax, that springs to mind, was just mental. Manchester City in that same cup run.
Did you go to either of those games?
Yeah, I was there. I was at every game that season. I was lucky enough to go to every game.
Tears of flooding.
Yeah,
sobbing.
I mean, I actually
hugging everyone around you.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen grown men cry, and there's nothing that can quite bring you to tears like your football team, I've realised. But yeah, Ajax for me, that was unbelievable. Manchester City, I don't think anyone thought that City would top that. You know, but before that, you know, Carabao, it was obviously not the Carabao Cup then, it was the Carling Cup, but Carling Cup final in 2008. Things like that, you know, they're the ones that really stick in your mind.
Yeah, and the Worthington Cup, but you were you too young for the Worthington Cup in 99?
I was 5, 4.
I think I cried at that one. I think it had been so long since, you know, talking about long time since we won anything, and we came out, I think I cried as we came out onto the pitch against Leicester. Terrible game, but great to win something. What about a funny moment? What's the funniest football match or funniest football moment you can think of?
Funniest?
It's a tricky question.
It's a tricky one. But I was going to say, I love look, I love away days. In theory, I actually enjoy away days more than home games because it's a whole day. And, you know, anyone that does away days, you'll know, like, it's the early starts and it's the car journeys and or the train journeys or the planes. And, like, they're the best games because, you know, everyone's having a drink, everyone's on it, everyone's so relaxed, everyone's buzzing for the kickoff. So, like, I don't have a specific funny memory, but I definitely find those way more of a laugh. Whereas, you know, at Spurs, I tend to just get there, go in and sit down. I don't tend to. It's very busy and I sit in South Stand and, you know, I can't get close to that bar. It's way too busy.
Yeah. But just getting on the train, it was so early morning, you're going to Stoke or whatever. You're getting on the train or in the car with your dad. I don't know how it all works. But and it's just, and that buzz and just having a laugh and listening to. I remember when I was very young with my dad, we used to put the Chaz and Dave on and all that, and just wonderful. I don't know, did you go to Madrid?
Yes, I was in Madrid. Yes.
Yeah. So on the plane journey to Madrid, the plane journey was the worst plane journey of my life because the pilot kept saying, "Can you keep it down, please? Otherwise, we will land in France." And da da da. And I was like, "Oh my god, please!" And I was like, "Guys, can we all just?" I didn't know anyone. I was on my own. I was meeting my dad in Spain, and I just said, "Look, we need to stop. We need to." And in the end, I just plugged myself in and like did this for that whole like put my hands over my ears because, you're effing Chelsea. You're the I'm shouting on this plane because it was the day before.
Yeah.
Because I'd gambled on the day of the Ajax game. The flights were 200 quid return to Alicante, and yeah. I was like, right, well, let's do it. And fortunately, there. But yeah, I can see the fun and the banter and everything. I don't go away too much. I went to West Ham once. That was horrible. And I went to the Emirates. But anyway, what's the worst football match you ever saw? Maybe that was a Madrid card. What springs to mind?
It's the worst. I have to say, probably one of the. Do you know what? It always sticks in my head. One of the 5-2s against Arsenal. I think it was the second one. And I just was so angry that it happened again.
Adebayor did get sent off after 16 minutes? Was that first or second? And we wore the soppy, quite a nice kit, I think, the grand black. But you wear white against Arsenal, so we wore the away kit or the third kit.
Traditional. It always sticks in my head as a game. I hate that game. It just annoyed because it annoyed me that we let it happen once. So let it happen again. Mm. It just always sticks in my head as one of my worst.
And we were better than them in both those. I think they lost their next four or five and we won the next four or five and it didn't matter. Anyway, yeah, horrible. What about, have you ever been at a football match and it scared you?
No, I don't think so. I remember being at Chelsea. It takes a lot to scare me. But I've been at Chelsea and you know, just everyone's having a bit of.
Is that because your dad's massive and he's going to beat you up?
No, definitely not. I reckon I could probably help out on that front if it needed to be. But I just remember Chelsea. Chelsea's always quite a volatile game. That's probably where I'd say, you know, sometimes I'm a bit on edge with games like that, or you know, West Ham. You know, when you walk into the ground and stuff like that. But other than that, I've never really been. Scared at games and stuff like that. I'm usually with a group of like 20 guys, so me personally, I feel very safe and protected.
We could change that question to how you feel on like a is Arsenal the team that you don't like the most? Is that the one that you? I mean, what I'm getting at here is there a game that we're leading up to and you're. Stomach is doing washing machine and it's like, oh my god. Oh.
I used to feel that way with Arsenal, and I think that maybe just because over the years, obviously Arsenal aren't what they were. I absolutely hate them. I don't regard them as highly as I did. Hate Chelsea. I hate Chelsea so much. I hate that game. I also hate West Ham because so often West Ham managed to do us and it annoys me beyond belief. So those three I don't love. But I actually, in terms of Arsenal, on the day, I know it's a derby and it's the North London derby, but I don't get half as nervous as I used to. And this year is what annoyed me the most because I didn't even for one second think they were going to win this year. So I was so pissed off after that because it just, it hadn't even remotely crossed my mind. You know, I thought we might draw, but it hadn't crossed my mind we were going to lose.
Annoying. What about a football player that you used to love, but you don't anymore?
Oh, what a good question. I wish I would have known these before, then I could have thought about things.
No, you're not allowed. They've got to pop into your head.
A football player I used to love that I don't anymore.
Did you see, I mean, Defoe came out yesterday and said, listen, can I just clear it up? I don't think Kane should leave Spurs, but, you know, it's up to him. Did you hate him for that 24-hour period when he said
No, when it was reported that Kane should leave Spurs? I think there's so many false things in papers. I never really go by headlines unless something is actually coming from a credible source, you know, unless I kind of see like a Fabrizio Romano or, you know, or like a David Ornstein tweet and stuff. I don't really pay any attention, to be honest with you. Oh, God, this is... I've got two, and one's just scampered across because he's heard the other one going. There's two. They're two
puppies. I had Majestic on the show yesterday, and my little doggy was like going mad. He was like, "It's all right. Love dogs. It's all right." So the dog lovers, not a problem.
Oh God, I don't know the answer to this question. Someone. Well, I mean, I guess Sol Campbell would spring to mind.
You ever miss him?
No, I've never had the dishonour. no, I've never met him. That would honestly be the obvious one that springs to mind. I can't think of anyone in recent years. No one I've cared enough about has made the divide across, you know, the North London. So yeah, that'll probably be who I dislike the most.
Okay, let's plough on. What match or what player? No, what player do you defend? To everybody, and they're all like, "Oh, he's rubbish, what a terrible player," and you're like, "No, I quite like him, even now or in the past."
Harry Winks has been one that I have defended quite a bit. I'm not as defensive about him now, and I defended him a lot because I felt, you know, very optimistic about him when he first broke in. Obviously, you know, he was one of our own and that type of thing. I love homegrown players, like, who doesn't? And he absolutely loves the club. And when he broke in, obviously it was under Pochettino. There was a lot more of having your arm around a player at that time. He was also next to the incredible Moussa Dembélé. So everyone who would be next to Moussa Dembélé would also
love him. My favourite.
One of the greatest. Just so underrated for me. I always have defended Harry Winks because I felt that maybe, you know, it was going from a Pochettino to a Jose, it's very different managerial style. You know, I felt like he was developing well being next to someone like Dembélé. But I'd say I don't defend him half as much now because I think that there's some things that I can't defend. And I think that, you know, he's what, 20? I think he's 24, maybe coming into 25 now, if I'm right.
Still young.
He's still young, but I feel like...
What do you want him to do? What do you want him to do, Abby?
I feel like he hasn't developed in the way that I had hoped. You know, I see a lot of circles going backwards, and I want him to go forwards. I want him to pick a pass.
Later Scott Parker DVDs. Yes. And he should watch early Scott Parker DVDs.
Do you know what? I couldn't have put it better. Exactly that. And I think that, you know, we need someone, especially since Christian Eriksen's gone. And obviously we see Harry Kane drop back a lot more to, you know, kind of try and fulfill that role and pick the pass. I feel like Harry Winks had the ability to maybe do that. Not in terms of Christian Eriksen, but I think that he could be a lot more positive with his play and passing forward. And I feel that, like, I've seen too much of him now that I know that he's not going to do that. And I just don't think he's going to be what I expected him to be. So that's someone I think that would come into it as
Desperate for him to do well, aren't we? We really are. We're like, come on.
Yeah.
Have one or two more shots. Play the ball forward a bit more. Okay, you give it away a bit, but at least whether we can then say, do you know what? Harry Winks passed that ball forwards 10 times, never found a person, but at least we're saying something different.
Yeah, it's just something different. You know, we see so much of the back and the side and, you know, that type of thing. And I just think that, you know, there's been times over this season where someone's needed to kind of grab the game by the scruff of the neck and be like, all right, I'm going to change it. And I feel that he had the ability to do that, but I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it enough. And for me, that's why. I do believe there is a player in there. I don't think it will be at Spurs. I think they'll probably cash in on him personally.
Yeah. it's crazy because you look at a player like Sissoko and you go, he can't do it. He can't grab the game by the scruff of the neck. He can get the ball and bulldoze forward, but he can't grab the ball, the game by the scruff of the neck and start spraying passes.
Yeah.
Winks can, and that's what we want to see. What about what's your favourite match of all time?
My favourite match of all time. I love the 3-2 West Ham. I love that game when Bale scored, 80, I can't remember what minute it was, just before the end at West Ham away at the old Upton
away
Park.
Away
at Upton Park. He picks the ball up and everyone knows what goal it is, and it's like the last couple of minutes of the game.
Gordon, where were you for that?
87th minute. I was there. I remember being there. I remember I was sitting halfway to the back and I ended up right at the front. I literally got bamboozled and pushed the whole way to the front. And I loved it. And I love last minute winners and things like that. And I just remember what a game that was.
Yeah.
That was a proper London derby, that. And probably one of my favourite games, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. I was in a pub, Leigh-on-Sea, as I say, which is South End, very West Ham country, but very a real mix.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember him scoring that goal. And it wasn't a packed pub. It's at the old man's pub around the corner, which is brilliant for football. In fact, they've got an ex-West Ham player is the manager down there. Oh, forgot his name. Anyway, from the 60s. Anyway, Bale scores, and I remember just leaping up on the table like boom boom like this, and the drinks just wobbling everywhere, and me and a couple of mates just trying to arrange this to stop the drinks from going everywhere. What an amazing goal. They shout all the time, don't they? But those West Ham games, it is annoying that we don't always beat them, and they seem to beat us quite a lot.
Frustrated.
What's your favorite country?
What's my favorite country? That been to?
Up to you. Interpret these questions however you want to.
What's my favourite country? If it's a place I've been to, I'd probably say Thailand. I'd love to go back. I went when I was 19 for a month.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'd love to go back and do it a lot more cultural than I did it. But I remember it being absolutely beautiful, and I loved it.
When you say do it a bit more cultural, do you mean drink less?
Drink less. Drink less, sightsee more, go and see more beautiful things. But I just remember I had an amazing time. It's such a beautiful country. People were lovely. And massive foodie. I mean, I didn't eat the scorpions and stuff like that. I wouldn't go too far.
So do they do all that? I sometimes ask people who've been there. And on the actual street markets,
crispy scorpions and all that jazz. I remember I remember saying on the Koh San Road, so anyone who's been to Thailand listening to this will know exactly what I mean. It's like a busy, busy street, market street. It's like one of the main ones in Bangkok. And I remember staying on that in like a little inn, and mental at night, absolutely mental.
Did you eat snakes?
I wouldn't. No, I mean, there's certain things I would do, and, you know, eating a cockroach or a spider or a snake or scorpion is not one of them. I enjoy my food too much, so I wouldn't want to get sick after it.
what about food wise? What's your favourite country for food?
Italian. I love a carb. I love a pasta. I love a pizza. Cheese.
You sure you didn't listen to Majestic show?
No, are we the same? Yeah.
Almost word for word.
I love everything that's good about Italy and their wine as well, actually.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. All right. And you like the wine. There you go. That's why we're getting on so well. who's your most... Oh, this is a horrible question. Who's your most hated footballer?
Oh, God. Who is my most hated footballer?
I mean, this is horrible, but I really... Oh, I don't want to say it, but I always do. It's Tom Huddleston. He just used to drive me mad.
Does it have to be Spurs?
No, it can be whoever you like. I mean... You know, we've had the obvious Jack Wilshere's and people like that before.
Oh, I didn't even think he's so irrelevant. I didn't even think of him. who do I really hate? Oh, do you know what? I really dislike Mo Salah massively.
Do you?
I really do. I really don't like him.
The way he throws his arms back.
I don't like them very much. Yeah, I think that Harry Kane gets a lot of stick about diving, and I don't, maybe I'm biased, but I don't think he dives much And I think that Mo Salah dives an awful lot. And if he wasn't Mo Salah, I think he probably wouldn't get away with it. Yeah. I do dislike him quite a lot. I mean, I wouldn't say I hate anyone in particular, but I mean, he does bring to mind, and I do always think, oh, not him again.
We'll move on. Which football team do you hate the most, by the way?
It's a tough one. If I'm basing it on fans, that's a different kettle of fish.
Okay, so the fan
bases are very, very annoying, and I'm sure lots of people dislike Tottenham fans as well. Football team I hate the most, it would have to be Arsenal. Liverpool fans annoy me a lot. They lose a few games and I see them saying Klopp out, and I think that's mental behaviour.
Do you know who's annoying me at the moment? Is the teams that haven't won anything slagging us off for not winning anything. So the Everton fans, the West Ham fans, the Aston Villa fans, the Newcastle fans. You know, I listened to Alan Shearer talking about leaving. You know, okay, you won the league, but then you went to Newcastle, lived your dream, stayed there for, 8 or 9 years, became a club legend. You'll be forever the greatest ever Newcastle player. Mm. Whereas if you'd have gone Man United, yeah, you would have won some stuff. But he knows what his legacy is, and he's like a... But, yeah... All these teams, I mean, even Oldham fan was on the radio the other day. Oh, Tottenham, bunch of bottlers. And I'm like, you're an Oldham fan.
What? Because this is just what I mean. You know, people just have to put their 2p in sometimes, and it's not always required.
Oh, my God. Have you been on TalkSport?
Not for a very long time. As in a call-up, not for a very long time.
Yeah, I was wondering, or being asked to be, I wondered if you'd had any interactions with Adrian Durham at all.
No, we do follow each other, but no, I don't tend to call up. Sometimes when I'm just not in the mood, I just turn it off.
Because you are, he responds to you, doesn't he?
On occasion, yeah. Do. I know the Moose fairly well as well. His brother used to be my Spanish teacher, I'm pretty sure. So
whenever the Moose comes down to Southend, he always there's a ice cream place, and it's called the Moose, and he always posts a picture, and I feel like walking down and going, "Hello, mate." I've never met him. I do interact with Adrian Durham because I'm purposely not rude on Twitter or anything, in swearing and stuff. So me and Adrian Durham do have a bit of back and forth occasionally. But again, you know, going back to the social media thing, you don't want it too much, because while you're having a nice conversation with somebody, someone else will pitch in, and you go, "Oi, butt out of this with your horrible comments. I'm having a nice time."
Exactly. Right.
Let's do these ones. These are quick fire, and then we'll finish up. But it's been great. Thanks ever so much for coming on. It's lovely chatting about Spurs. I know the weather's nice. What about your favourite ever player?
Oh, God, favourite ever player. I mean, look, as I said, I loved Jermaine Defoe, loved him. I loved Teddy Sheringham. I loved David Ginola, even though I was a bit towards the back end of that. I loved Jan Vertonghen. I loved Moussa Dembele. I love Gareth Bale.
Gary Doherty.
I love Sonny. I'd probably have to say it's Harry Kane. I just absolutely love Harry. I think he is fantastic as a player. And obviously, look, there's a lot of talk about if we'll sell him and whatever. You know, people forget he's still under contract. So even if Harry wants to go, it's really not up to him.
It's amazing, isn't it, Abby? You hear all these comments from everybody, and as Spurs fans, you're screaming at them going, contract. Where's he going to go? I mean, yes, City, but has there been a bid by City?
I'll be honest, I don't think that it'll be Harry that they're looking at for City. And I don't believe for a second Daniel Levy will be selling in this country.
Exactly.
I've said it for months now. You know, I can't foresee Daniel Levy taking less than 150 as a starting point.
There's so many elements.
I see things today in the paper, and people were laughing at me saying, 150 for Harry Kane. I said, I'm telling you, Daniel Levy will want no less than a starting point of 150, because for Tottenham, he's absolutely, you know, Harry Kane is priceless. So he can stick whatever monetary value he wants on Harry Kane, because he doesn't have to sell Harry Kane. Yeah. You know, what's going to benefit you more, Harry Kane going or Harry Kane staying? And we all know it'll be Harry Kane staying. So for me, he just embodies everything I'd want in a footballer. I think he's incredible. And I just, yeah, for me, he's probably my favourite in my lifetime. I can't knock him. I never can criticise him. You know, when I see people sometimes criticise him, and I just think, oh, come on. Come on, you can't criticise the guy.
But all those elements to it, you know, they've got to pay the money. We're in COVID. Why would you go anywhere apart from City? I mean, yeah, all right. Is Kane going to turn around? Is Kane sitting there going, well, if it's not City, maybe I'll go to United? Really? You're going to leave?
I just really don't think it's going to be in this country anyway. If he was to go anywhere, I'd expect he'd be abroad.
And would his wife want to go? I don't think so, because I think she seems like a homely type person who probably loves her life at the moment.
Maybe so. Look, he will want to win trophies, and I totally understand that. And if he goes, I would, you know, I'm not going to begrudge him it. He deserves to win everything. But you have to look at it. Who can afford him? Who would want him? You know, he's going to be 20. He's going to be 28. You look at someone like Haaland. He's so young. You know, the longevity.
He'll go to City.
The longevity of the signings as well. You know, you look at Mbappe. You look at Messi. He'll be moving. There's only so much. Yeah. There's only so many clubs. There's only three clubs or so that can really afford it. And you look at Barca. Barca haven't got the money. Madrid haven't got the money. So I'm really not even. I'm not even that worried at this point.
And would you want to go to Germany? I mean, yeah, great. You win a trophy, but you might as well go to Scotland and win it. I mean, Germany. Just imagine middle of the season in Germany, you're playing for Bayern Munich. Kane will be like, oh, I wish I was back at Spurs and, you know, having a right laugh with all my mates rather than this like German machine that just wins every week. I can't see it. Right. Who's your favourite ever manager?
Pochettino.
Who's your legendary player?
Legendary player.
It doesn't have to be a Spurs player. Mine's Maradona.
Legendary general player.
Or Spurs. Can be either. Because Maradona played for Spurs.
This is not going to go down. This is not going to go down well. Don't say
Tony Adams.
No, I absolutely loved Thierry Henry. I loved him. Oh, I really did. Quality is quality. Doesn't matter what colour jersey you wear, sometimes quality is quality. And I absolutely loved Thierry Henry. So he's probably one of my favourite players. To try and say something different to the Messi, the Ronaldo, the Maradona, the Pele. I really loved watching Thierry Henry. I really did.
Okay. I think, just to counterbalance that so you don't get loads of hate, I love Ian Wright, actually. I love him on telly. I think he's brilliant. I think he's funny. I think he's a nice guy. And the best thing is he really winds up the Arsenal fans, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I think he's great.
He's quite positive about Spurs. I like it.
Sometimes you just have to take your bias out of it. Like, you know, you can appreciate when someone's a good player. And yeah.
Who's your favourite ever goalkeeper?
Cool. I did actually really like Paul Robinson. I'd probably go with Paul Robinson.
Definitely. Favourite defender?
Oh, it's got to be Jan.
Yeah,
I know, that's really out of order on Ledley. I mean, I'm probably going to get pelted if I don't say Ledley. We'll do it half and half. I love Jan Vertonghen with a serious passion. It upsets me that we haven't had a proper send-off for him. But obviously, Ledley is just, you know, it's just unfortunate with the knee.
Jan Vertonghen is the current captain of the current number one international side in the world. Mm-hmm. And we sold him.
I think it was time. I definitely think it was time. I felt like it was time. I think Toby's time is also coming. But again, you've got to replace what you sell. That's what I would say.
You have to. And what about your favourite midfielder?
Spurs.
Up to you. Don't say another Arsenal player.
I'm going to just go off of who I've, in most recent years. I loved watching Moussa Dembélé. I loved Luka Modric. I actually loved Scott Parker as well while he was there.
Okay, I'm going to nail you down on those ones then. Which one? Would you go Dembélé or Modric?
Modric, because you can't argue that. I just think Luka Modric is incredible. When I look at what he's done also since he's left, I love Moussa Dembélé, but I think if you've got Luka Modric in your side, wow, just incredible.
Okay, I'm going Dembélé on that one. And what about your favourite striker?
Harry Kane.
Absolutely. Oh, that, not Defoe. Oh,
no, I'm going to give it to him.
He listens to the show. Brilliant. Last question then. So aliens come down,
mm-hmm.
and they land in your neck of the woods, and Edmonton, where you live. No, I don't know. But they see you and they go, ah, the famous Abby Summers. You are Mrs. Spurs. You know everything about Spurs. You know everything about football. But we don't know. We don't know anything about football. Tell us what it is. What is this football? And you say, aha. Right, okay, so here's a DVD. Watch this match, and this match is everything about football. And you go, and you hand it over. What is that match that you are handing over?
Is it a general DVD or is it a Spurs DVD?
It's not an officially produced DVD. It's a DVD of a match, any match. Or you can say, oh, watch this YouTube clip of this match or this. What is the match that you're saying?
Do you know what?
This
I would probably give them something. If I'm keeping this Spurs related, I'd actually probably give them Ajax, because I feel like Ajax actually has every single thing you need to know about football, the highs and the lows, the roller coaster of emotions that you go through, especially from when you look at where they started from until how it ended up, and like in the dying seconds. I feel like those type of games, you know, even like the Liverpool one, you know, they had the night before us, those type of games, I think they just explain themselves. That explains exactly why you love football.
Yeah. If I had Anthony Costa on during the first lockdown, and it just springs to mind that, because he can't watch that. I don't know if you can, but I watch it like about three times a week. He said, I can't watch it. So he'd probably hand over that DVD and say, here's the match, but you can't actually watch it. because you know of what happened afterwards. Can you watch that match?
I have not watched the final back, and I don't think I ever will.
No, not the final, the Ajax.
Yeah, many a time, thousands of times. Yeah,
the BT version where it cuts to Lineker and
yeah,
Ferdinand and Hoddle in the studio.
I could always watch things like that. I know how it ended, you know. I know that that was a fantastic moment. What happened the next game is the next game. I could never watch the final back. Way too painful. But, you know, Ajax, what an incredible moment. Still get goosebumps every time.
Yeah. You know, there's a moment, just one final thing. There's a moment in that game, the final, and I never watched it back, but it was on the other day. And I, okay. And there was about 15 minutes left. Mm-hmm. And Jermaine Jenas says, something's happening here. Spurs are all over Liverpool. That's my dog. Spurs are all over Liverpool. And I'm telling you, something's going to happen here. I can see it happening. And I was like, that's what we all felt. We all felt that, didn't we? Because I think Eriksen had a free kick and we got close with Sonny. And it's like, we're going to do this. And we didn't. Anyway, let's not end on that downer. Right, Abby, it's been brilliant having you on. My dog's just going crazy. But it's been great having you on. Listen, is there anything else you wanted to say about Spurs or anything that comes to mind?
No, nothing. Just I hope we're all back there very soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, thanks ever so much. And it's been great chatting. And hopefully we'll see you soon.
My pleasure.
White Hart Lane, British Airways White Hart Lane.
Yeah, the VA Stadium, whatever they're going to call it if it happens.
We call it White Hart Lane. All right.
Take care. Nice to see you.
Bye.
Bye.